What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 16th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Seth Lugo, yeah, you can maybe add him. He had a good start against the Tigers yesterday. He's pitching kind of the same as the first half last year. Nothing really too shocking. He's healthy from the back injury. It's fine. I was a little bit out on him before because I saw reduced velocity in his curveball. That's without the slow curve included, but hey, 6.2 innings, one earned ball. That's fine against the Tigers. And now he gets the Orioles and the Angels and into Seattle. So maybe that does work. We'll see. Carmen Minjinski went as a follower and it killed. So did Jesse Schultens. Now, Minjinski went against the Nationals, Schultens against the White Sox. And Minjinski, it was incredible splitters, two left-handers. And now he'll go into Texas and maybe that can happen again. But you know how I feel about splitters. Maybe that works as a vulture start. And for Schultens, yeah, this was 77 pitches in five frames with five whiffs and over 67, five whiffs over 67 cut fastballs and sliders is just like not really my jam. It's a very much worse Rasmussen. He got the White Sox, but now he'll get the Reds carpet, so maybe he can steal a win there too. Dylan Cease did well, and I hope he does it again. Bryce Elder did well, and I'm not going to go against the Nationals. That's a very left-handed focused team. The Marlins had some right-handers in there, and he actually allowed more hits to them than lefties, but I just feel kind of weird. We saw what the lefty heavy lineup did in Cleveland. He's going to get them against the Nationals. I wouldn't do that, and then it's Philly and Coors for Bryce Elderson. Oh, thanks. Chad Patrick, 6.2 innings. What? 81 pitches. Wow. That's an absolute gold star. I haven't seen Chad Patrick go 6.2 innings in a long time, if ever. It was all cutters, though. Like 89 to 90 mile per hour cutters that had about 70% strikes and 50% usage also to right-handers at 16 over 17 strikes. He destroyed it against right-handers. But the four-seamer and curveball between them went like 50% strikes, maybe actually underneath that. And I don't really adore this. You know, it's very middling to me. If you want to do it against the Tigers, sure. But it's not really enough for me to really chase. Like, I don't think that you're going to have a great ceiling throughout the year. Dustin May made it work against the Guardians. And I'll be honest with you, if he does this against even splits lefty and righty, this would work, right? I don't believe it against the Cardinals the second time because he had two whiffs over 91 pitches, six innings and one earned run, seven base runners, four Ks. But he did a good job of getting his cutter inside and then his sweeper backdoor with four seamers up. Like, that's the best you could kind of hope for from Dustin May against left-handers. And if you can look like this with good dominance as he should with sinkers and sweepers and cutters with the four seamer up to right-handers, then I'd feel good about it. This one, I feel like Koufax was very kind with the timing of everything. I mean, two whiffs, guys. Fewer whiffs than strikeouts. And two whiffs in six innings. Oh my gosh. Okay. Spencer Arrighetti was my stream pick of the day. And what do you know? He got the win with 20 whiffs on 100 pitches, 10 strikeouts against Rocky Road. You could say, hey, this was supposed to be still ill. Well, no, because we knew that he threw 82 pitches in six innings in AAA and 100 pitches here, which is wild, but it was Rocky Road. His curveball was insanely good against lefties, like unreal. And I'm not expecting him to do it again. He'll also get the Guardians next. He'll get the... A lot of guys are getting the Guardians next. You got the Nationals for Elder. You have Carmen Minjinski against Texas. That's what I was thinking of before. With Arrighetti, he's going to get lefties. And is that curveball going to be as effective to lefties again, right? I mean, these are pitches that we've seen not be consistent. I'm thinking of Arrighetti's curveball, Majinski's splitter. And I wouldn't necessarily bank on it. So the heaters did not come for strikes. It was four walks. It's amplified by Rocky Road. I would like to try it, but I'm not banking on it. He will not be a probable start for that one after this really good performance. Shohei Ohtani, ace is going to ace, of course, six innings, wanted to run 10 Ks, mostly with four seamers, by the way. Very strange, but then again, the Mets are just that bad. Jack Flaherty against the Royals had a good outing, six innings, wanted to run two hits, three walks, seven Ks. Awesome. He has a 24% strikeout rate. He was near 94 on his fastball, 93, 94. Thing is, he gets Fenway and then goes into Cincinnati next. I don't want to do that. Also, he had a sub-60% strike rate on a four-seamer, slider, and curve. That's not what we want. So I'm not in on that. Connelly Early, not the most exciting thing. Seven whiffs only in six innings. One run, two hits, two walks, five Ks. But against the Twins, who have been good against lefties, he got a win. And this is the embodiment of Max Fried. He looks good. Like, this is a consistent Holly, and that's all I want Connelly Earley to be. I'm not asking for a top 10, top 15 guy, but I trust that he can be a very good top 30, top 35 pitcher throughout the year, and that's why I've been in on him. I'm starting him against the Yankees. I think this is a better version of our Earley from the beginning of the year. Shota Imanaga came through with his name. I'm an AGA because, yes, Ace is going to ace with a golden goal at 26 whiffs. 26 on 97 pitches and 39% CSW against the Phillies, got the win. Showed Luzardo on the other side how it's done. And we'll talk about him in a moment, but 26 whiffs is just so cool. I love it for Imanaga. I love it for you guys that followed through on this because I saw Imanaga getting pushed down in preseason. I was like, I'm in. Slade Ciccone against the Cardinals. Wanted to run four innings, sure. But eight base runners and four Ks, nope. And now he gets Houston and then the Jays and the Athletics and like in Sacraverde. I just don't want to do it. Emerson Hancock looked great. Was so much better than Randy Vasquez on the other side. Six innings, 200 runs, four hits, one walk, and six Ks. All you need to know is that Hancock is executing. And that's great. And I feel so bad that I whiffed on this one. I should have studied him better, I guess, in the spring. We didn't have arm angle data. And I didn't really believe that the four-seamer was going to be it. I didn't understand at the time, and now I do. And I failed y'all for that, but you got him, right? Cool, great. JT Ginn against Texas, 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, and 3 Ks. He's going to go into Seattle next, and maybe it's Risky Ginn, which is me saying, like, whiskey gin. I don't like that. It's terrible. I'm never going to say that again. But, yeah, I'm not really going to go for it for now. It's not really everything we want. Jake Irvin against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Sure, 5 innings of 200 runs, 7 base runners, 5 Ks. We'll take that if you have it. No, I don't really like this. Sure, he has a little bit more extension this year, but I still think the pitches are meh. You have Clay Holmes against the Dodgers, 5 innings and 200 runs. And honestly, 88 pitches is great, 5 base runners. We love that, considering that we were worried that Clay Holmes might be out with a hamstring injury. And to do this and go 88 pitches is great. Now he'll host the Twins, which is cool. Get the Nationals. We're in. I'm cool with this with Clay Holmes now. Awesome. Chris Paddock against Atlanta came through, I guess. 4.2 innings of 200 runs. Nah. I mean, I know it's 93-94 as opposed to like 92-93. But I just don't want to go for it even against the Cardinals. I just feel it's too low of a ceiling, too low of a floor. The start from Kumar Rocker at Sacraverde. 4.2 innings of 200 runs. A lot of guys did that. I don't know. You don't want to start Kumar Rocker. Rhett Lauder came through as the Toby he's supposed to be with a better than quality PQS as a poor quality start. 6.2 innings of 300 runs. 6 base runners, 4 Ks. We take this. This is what he does. And it's at Tampa Bay next. Sure. I'll take that at 12-teamer stream. Jack Ahanowitz against the Yankees. He is looking better than he did last year. It's just a tough schedule. And Toronto and at Kansas City and then the Mets. Well, the Mets, maybe you want to do it. But, I mean, look, 6.2 innings of 300 runs. I was just praising Lauder, but this came with 4 walks. And it's a little bit more contentious. He did have the tougher offense in the Yankees. He also allowed some damage early on with 300 runs early and then settled in. But he doesn't have the matchups, right? If he doesn't have the matchups, then I'm not in. Jose Quintana appeared. Okay, cool, great. We don't want to do that. Kyle Bradish, this was wild. He threw really hard. 98.9. I think that's the hardest pitch he's ever thrown in his career. We saw that in the first inning. He sat 97, and then it fell. Now, it was mostly like 93, 95 after, but yeah, wait, after hitting 98.9, we saw 92 at like 3 pitches or so in the 5th inning. Very strange. That said, the four-seamer versus the sinker, four-seamer will be slower than the sinker because it's more of a cut four-seamer. Really think of it as a cutter. So seeing that 92, 93, and then fine, and then you see the 99 sinker, right? I'm buying low everywhere I can on Kyle Bradish. Also, the two of the runs were a quote-unquote triple that was off the glove, the left fielder that should have caught it. Sean Burke against the Rays disappointed us, and he's now lower velocity and bad whiffs and strike rates, and nope, we're out. Luis Gil, we should have been out before this, so yeah, 5 innings, 400 runs, I'm not in. Eduardo Rodriguez, it's been a Vargas rule, and that's kind of over with 10 base runners in 5 innings, but it's the White Sox next, and maybe the 92-mile-per-hour velocity is good enough, so fine, I get it, but I don't want to do it. Randy Vasquez, very disappointing start, 4 innings, 400 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 6 Ks. And that's a product of his changeup and his cutter just not being well commanded. Very low strike rates, a 21% strike rate and 14 changeups to lefties. For Randy Vasquez, no thanks. And his cutter at 48% strikes. Oh, gosh. Can't be it. Now he gets Coors and Cubs. No. Do I want to drop him? I kind of do. Because short term, like, you don't want this. I think one of those two starts will be good, though. And then you're going to get the White Sox after. So if you look at your waiver wire and you just see nothing that you feel like has potential to hold, then I hold on to Vasquez. If you look at the wire and like, oh man, there are a couple guys I would like, then you move on from Vasquez. So I mean, what's Richardson against the Red Sox? No thanks. He is up to 94, but it was just bad. So no thank you. Tyler Mahle against the Reds. This is not the game that we want to do it. It's in Cincinnati, and then he gets the Dodgers next. But then after that, we're coasting. And this is actually great that he did poorly. Why? Because you shouldn't have started him. You shouldn't have added him yet. Four innings of eight earned runs. He was sitting 93. And if we followed Mahle, it's been 92, 91. All we've been wanting really is the 92.5. To see 93 and even hitting 94.5, which was a home run, but that's fine. I love that. It means that he's ready to soar when he gets good matchups. And it means that guys aren't going to touch him because of this bad outing here and then the Dodgers next. Awesome. We get the Marlins and Rays after him. I'm there for that. And Jesus Lizardo, another great buy low. Come on, Nick. You can't just say everybody in the preseason who is doing badly is a buy low. I kind of can, unless there's a reason for them not to do well, right? Guys do poorly all the time. And if there's a decrease in velocity, if there's a decrease in ability of their skills, of their stuff, then yeah, I'm not going to be buying low. However, Jesus Lizardo is actually up in velocity. And I'm willing to tell you right now that he will make some tweak to prevent some of the damage that's happening right now. We've seen him do it in the past. We've seen him be volatile all the time. Fortunately for you, the manager without Luzardo right now, you have not experienced three out of four starts being a disaster. And if you have him right now, sorry, you just got to tough it out. Everything in the future is a blank canvas at this point. It's sunken costs, all that kind of stuff. No, just forget it. Gambler's fallacy. Okay, we have to talk about today and tomorrow's games. I'm going to do that after this break. All right, today we have Max Fried, Chase Burns, and Chris Bubich. Easy to do there. You don't need me to talk about today. We already have things already starting. Shane Boz and Ashcraft and Messick and Mats as our streamers are really in the probable start tier, questionable start. Landon Roop could be out of this tier moving forward if he shows good command. In Cincy, though, I don't like Cincy. Foster Griffin's an option against the Pittsburgh Pirates in PNC Park. Luis Castillo and Jack Leiter are really shaky ones to me. And then you have Anthony Kay as an interesting one. He will have an opener. And Brandon Sproat, look, don't do it. I get it. I'm just trying to showcase to you that he had two bad games, a good game in relief, and then now he finally starts again. I hope to see the Sproat that we were promised by me. And then you have Keter Montero, Ryan Weiss against Rocky Road. Peelbelt loves that one. I do not have it out of the do not start here because I haven't seen him start. And in the spring, the walk rate was bad, and he just hasn't been stretched out, all that stuff. So I'm just saying, no, don't do this. Jacob Lopez and Tomoyuki Sugano could be good there at Houston. It's not in Coors at least, but no thanks. Walker Buehler, Patrick Corbin, and Walbert Arena round that out. And then tomorrow, Jacob deGrom and Ryan and Gilbert and Glasnow and Schlittler. Oh, of course, auto starts. Logan Webb has not done well, but it's the Nationals. You do it. Jose Soriano has been too good to bench. And Bubba Chandler, he's an auto start. Why? Because he's much better than what you've seen, and he was even better last time against the Cubs. And now it's the Rays. Ignore the first two starts. He's going to be great. You have probable start tier of Edward Cabrera. It's against the Mets. Maybe I should put them up because that's the Mets. I'm not going to do it. Kodai Senga against the Cubs on the other side of it. He's questionable start. And I don't know where we're going to get from Senga. So remember, 50%, lower than 50% chance of success is what, to me, questionable start is. You have Michael Soroka against the Jays, Ranger Suarez against the Tigers. He was better last time, but it wasn't totally there. Zach Littell maybe does work against the Giants. He's okay. Jansen Junk, please command things against the Brewers. Michael Walker against the Yankees. He's been so good, but it's the Yankees. Tanner Bibee's command has been terrible. Nick Martinez gets the Pirates at least. Maybe the changeup is good enough there. And Aaron Civale has done well, but my gosh, it's Sacrevaird. And he hosts the White Sox, but Sacrevaird and it's Aaron Civale, and you know it's not going to last. Do not start here. Davis and Martin on the other side of that. He's going into Sacrevaird, which is even worse. And I know he's done okay, but I don't want to do that. It's too risky. You have Brandon Williamson against the Twins. I think overall for the season, he's a good streamer, and the Twins aren't this good of an offense. But right now, after what he's done so far and the Twins as they are, you just don't do it. Kyle Leahy against the Astros. Maybe this will be the one where he comes out of the cocoon. I don't want to start Chris Bassett. I just don't think he's good enough. If you're in a quality start league at Cleveland, then fine. but I don't want to. Maybe I should have Robert Gasser higher up. I don't even know if he's going, if it's totally confirmed. But maybe, and he's against the Marlins, and they're not good against lefties. But to me, this is the pilot route. Prospects initial line often terrible. And I know that Gasser has pitched before in the majors, but it feels like that here. I'm just not going to risk it. Lance McCullers Jr. is going against the Cardinals. Not fun there. You have Tomlin Walker against Atlanta. Eric Lauer against the Diamondbacks. Casey Mize against the Red Sox. It's in Fenway. No thanks. Matt Waldron, Martin Perez, and Ryan Feltner close it out. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your bats be low and your strikeouts high.